Praise God. Well, the title of my message is up there, Great Faith. You know, if we're going to walk with God, we might as well do it great. Amen. You know, as we talked about last week, you know, being all we can be in Christ Jesus, that's what we want to do. We want to serve Him, not just partially, not just on Sundays, but I just want to go all in with Jesus, to celebrate Him all the days, all the minutes, all the seconds of my life. Before I get into the Word, I just want to thank everybody that participated yesterday. It was just a wonderful time, a good time of ministry. Just the music was incredible. It was just a great time. So let's give everybody a hand that participated yesterday. And I want to thank Dan and Ann Redding for what they did for Angel Tree this week. We had a great time with the kids this week. And I want to congratulate Joe on retiring this week. This was his... Well, he thinks he's a free man, but I think his wife has got a long list. But Joe and Lorraine, could you stand up? I just feel to pray for you guys right now. Maybe Dean and Nancy, why don't you stand with them there? Father God, we just lift up Joe and Lorraine Prieto to you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the long labor that Joe has done, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've blessed him with this opportunity to retire. Father God, still in strength. And I pray, Lord, that your covering be over them, over their home. That, Lord, that you just guide and direct them in the things that they should do. And Lord, that you bless their time in this new season of life together, God. And that, Lord, your joy would be their strength. And Father, that you just carry them forward with your plans and purposes in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, when you retire, everything changes. Amen. I'm sure some of you that have retired, you know that, you know, now you're together all the time. Hallelujah. So that's a great thing. So today, great faith. Great, 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 great faith. That's what I want. Amen. And so today we're going to read out of Hebrews 11. We're going to read 1 through 3 and then verse 6. So if you stand with me and we'll read the word. And it says, the title of it is, By Faith We Understand. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But, verse 6, without faith it is impossible, everybody say impossible, to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today your word, I pray, Lord, even as your word declares, faith comes by hearing the word of God. I pray that our faith would just explode in this house today, Father God, that we could trust you for all things, God. Lord, because there's nothing that we receive that is good that does not come from you. So, Father, we thank you for this time and for this day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So you don't have to worry about growing your faith. You know, a lot of people, you know, when I look at James 1 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you like trials? Well, it's supposed to be a joyous time. Trials are joy, meant for joy. Count it all joy, amen? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, the testing of our faith produces patience, okay? But we don't get, our faith does not come more by the testing. We get patience that way. So I don't want you to be afraid to allow your faith to grow, because Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So don't have to worry about growing your faith, because all you've got to do is listen to the word of God. You know, you don't have to read it. I said, listen to the word of God. Faith comes by. So put the Bible app on and listen to the Word of God, amen. You don't even have to make time. Well, I don't have time to read. You got time to listen. Throw in the headphones, throw in that thing, put it in the CD in your car, whatever, and listen to the Word of God and allow it to grow in you, amen, so that you're hearing it and you're hearing it and you're hearing it. You know, there's just certain things that we take on because of our parents always telling us. You know, like a two-year-old always says no. A two-year-old says no to everything. Do you know why? Because that's what he's been told for 2 years. No, 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 no. You know, don't put your hand there. Don't touch that. Don't do this. No, no, no. So the first thing that a kid starts saying to you is no, and then we slap him in the mouth. We say, don't say no to me. But that's what he knows. And you see, when you get the Word of God in you, that's all you hear. That's what comes out of your mouth. You start talking in faith. You start saying what the Word of God says instead of what you feel like. I am so trying not to say what I feel. I just want to speak by faith, amen. I want to speak the Word of God over my life. My God shall supply, amen. That's all. I'm just stuck on that. God shall supply all. Everybody say all. All that you need, amen. That is who God is. So you don't have to worry about what it's going to take to grow your faith. Somebody told me one time, and they were dying. They said, I wish I had your faith. I said, oh, but you do. So you just have to realize who you are in Christ and take it on. Get the Word of God in you, that it's the first thing out of your word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, just turn over there. I haven't got to my notes yet. We'll get there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. My Bible, my pages are steep. There we go. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law, the book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. What it means is the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It means that the word of God is always on the tip of your tongue. The word of God is always there. The word of God is the first thing that comes out of your mouth when there's a need. The word of God is always there. You go to the doctor says you have this. The first thing you say is, by his stripes I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes I'm healed. See, because what we tend to do is we tend to take that on. The word of God, the doctor told the table, you got cancer. The table says, oh my gosh, I got cancer. Oh my gosh. And you see, that's what the table's expressing its feelings. It's expressing the facts of what the doctor. But the truth says, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. Now your doctor may not believe it, and you may not believe it at the moment, but that should be the first thing that comes out of our mouths. Amen. I remember when the doctor told my mom some terrible news, and I was in there with her, and the doctor's and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking and watching my mom, and tears are just running down her cheeks because it was just such bad news. And I just pulled my chair up in front of her, and I said, Mom, by his stripes you are healed. She said, amen. And I just began to speak the word of God over my mom just till the peace just fell on. You know, we've got to declare God, and you've got to keep it on the tip of your tongue. So it shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night. Think about the Word of God. Stop meditating on all your issues of life and your relationships and your money, and start thinking and meditating on the Word of God. Think about it day and night. Let it come alive inside of you, amen, and do so that you may observe to do according to all. Everybody say all. That is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. So if you're not prospering, that's your fault. He just told you how to do it. He said, don't let the book of the Word of God depart from your mouth. Let it always be on the tip of your tongue. Meditate on it day and night so that you observe, you start doing it. So that you do the Word of God first before you do anything else. You're always thinking about the Word of God. You know, when you have an issue, you don't go to talk to somebody about your issue. You go to your Father, and you start talking to the issue with your Father in heaven. Amen? You go to Him first. You trust in God. And when you start doing that, He says, when you start doing what is written here, then you, everybody say you. You will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. You. Look at your neighbor. Say you. You will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. How many of you want to prosper? You know, this isn't a prosperity message. This is, I mean, how many of you like to have money in your pocket, huh? How many of you like to have good health? How many of you like to have good relationships? How many of you like to prosper? Amen? I don't see anywhere in here that tells me you need to walk around sick, sad, sorry, and poor. It doesn't tell us that. He says, you shall have life and life more abundantly. Amen? That abundance word in John 10:10, that is a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of word. It is the biggest word in the Bible. You shall live abundantly. So take it into you today, amen? So faith comes by hearing, the hearing of the Word of God. So I've got so much Word of God for you today, because that's all I want to talk about is the Word. Because I want it to be in us. I want our hearts to be exploding with the Word of God. Go ahead and put that next verse up there. It's in Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered. Because Jesus was on a journey. He saw a fig tree with leaves on it. See, the figs come in first on a tree, and then the leaves come. So he saw a fig tree with leaves, so he figured the figs were already there. So when he got there and he was hungry and he found no figs, he cursed the tree. So the next day they're walking by and Peter says, hey guys, he cursed that tree yesterday and look at it, it withered up. Freaks you out a little bit when you see stuff like that. I mean, so in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say that. Have faith in God. One more time. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he has done will be done, he will have whatever he says. What is your mountain? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. And faith is this: a conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. In the New Testament meaning, pistis, which is the Greek word for faith, is the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that He says. The word sometimes denotes the object or content of belief. Have faith in God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11, he uses the example of men and women to describe what faith looks like. He talks about Enoch. You know, Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. He talks about Abraham. He talks about all these powerful people of God. He talks about, it says in Hebrews 11, it says, women received their dead husbands back to life. It's powerful. Have faith in God. He creates a picture for us of what faith is. We don't need to guess at it. All we got to do is read it. Read it out loud so you hear it. Speak the word, hear the word, do the word. Success and prosperity in the name of Jesus. That's what it declares Joshua 1:8. He spoke to the tree and it withered because he spoke as a man with authority. And a greater understanding of this is this, that it should carry down to us, because the same spirit that is in us, it was in him, is in us. Amen? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is where? In us. So we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So with the authority that Jesus spoke, amen, that we can speak. Now listen, if you go to John, I'm just going to read off my head, okay? Matthew chapter 28:18, it says, all power, all authority is given to Jesus by his Father in heaven. Okay, that word authority is exousia in the Greek. So that all that authority has been given to Jesus. And so if you go to John 16 and 14 and 15, it talks about that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to take of what is Jesus and he's going to give it to you. So that he will impart to you the things that Jesus has. So if Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth, he is releasing by the Holy Spirit authority into the people of God as we're filled with the Spirit of God, so that we're not left without power. We have this authority inside of us, and when Jesus spoke to that tree and said, be withered, it dried up the next day. And what Jesus is telling us is that because of the authority that he has given us, that we can maintain and walk in that authority, that we can speak to the mountain and it will be removed. It will go, it will leave. You see, but we've got to get it ingrained in our heart. We have to get so into the Word that we believe it, that we receive it, that we believe that God wants to heal you today. That you believe that God wants to supply your need today. You've got to believe it and receive it into your heart and walk it out in a confidence of who God is. He says you got to believe in your heart. It's because if you doubt, doubt is a faith killer. Doubt kills our faith. So speak to what is in your way, and it'll be removed. He made it very clear. Whoever believes in what he says, he will have whatever he says. Whoever believes in what he says will have whatever he says. Whoever speaks will have whatever. Whatever do you need today? What do you need God to do today? Speak to the mountain and tell it to go. It takes faith. You can't pick it up once a week. Most of us don't even bring the Bible to church anymore because I put it up there for you. Dust this thing off and get it into you. Fire off your phone and listen to it. Do whatever it takes to get the Word of God in you so that your faith is just growing and growing, that you start just really receiving and believing. See, I've read it through so many times. I've read it through so many times, and I read it all the time so that it's in me, and it's like, well, I come with an expectation. When I come before God, I believe that he's going to do something. I packed my house on Friday and put it in storage because I have an expectation on God of what he said. See, I'm not up here just talking to you. I'm talking to me. This is not something I'm not walking out. You can't say, oh, pastor just lives a cushy life. No, I am walking by faith. Amen. And that's what God is calling us to. And Delonda said, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to take that step? So we're just stepping. And it's amazing. This week I taught college on Monday. And what did we talk about? Walking on water. It's like, well, that's just where we were, my class, walking on water. I called Delonda. I said, I think we're out of the boat. She said, amen. She'd call me to encourage me to get out of the boat. Whatever, what is your whatever, and do you believe? Do you believe? I got to tell you, man, when last Saturday, I told you last Sunday that I said some things to Delonda on Saturday that I wasn't real nice. Because I was a little frustrated because I'm packing the house and I don't know where I'm going. I was a little frustrated last Saturday. But this week, we have not argued about nothing. We've just enjoyed each other's company and just moving. Just celebrating Jesus and each other. It's been a great week. It's going to be a great week this week. We're excited. We're very excited. It just, because to me, it just doesn't matter. As long as I have her and she has me, I am a happy man. Amen? That's what matters. And, you know, and this is Christmas time. We have the manger here. Last night we had little baby Jesus, and we had Jesus at 2 years old, Jesus, and, you know, when the wise men came. I mean, we had it going on last night. But we have to remember what Jesus came for, amen? He came to seek and save that which is lost. But, you know, one of the greatest stories of faith that I like to go through is Mary's story. Mary's story just blesses me. Man, I think, that young lady had faith. And I think about a teenager having that much faith. And it made me just wonder how much of the word her parents had shared with her. How much has she heard the stories over and over and over again, to where it was just ingrained in her heart, to where that she just wholly believed. And I want to read you that story today. It's in Luke, and I'm just going to break it up a little bit because I want to read it and talk about it. I only have one point today. That's great faith. My title is my point, great faith. Have great faith. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, Christ's birth announced to Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. You know, sometimes God does things a little differently than we would do them. Amen. I mean, if I was God, I would have told me where we were going on the first day of the 30 days. This is the last day of the 30 days. I would have told me back then. And then it could have been just, hey, but God wants to do things how? With joy. Amen. He wants us to do it with joy. He does things differently. And delivering the message through the angel Gabriel. Now, think about this. God sent Gabriel from his presence to Mary. I can just imagine the presence that was there when that angel appeared to Mary. The holy presence that came with that angel. And I've heard of stories of meetings where they said an angel walked in and came down. I heard this one meeting, I think it was with Smith Wigglesworth, that the angel came in the door and he saw it come in and it walked down the front to the church. And as the angel walked in, everybody fell out of their chair because of the presence. And here this angel approaches Mary. Oh, that would be something, amen. It must have been an incredible moment. In verse 28 it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. You know, one of the things that limits our faith, not only doubt, but how we think about ourselves. Are you worthy? Do you feel worthy? You know, do you really think God thinks of you as highly favored? Do you really think God thinks of you as the light of the world? Does God think of you as the salt of the earth? Can you really receive how God thinks of you? Are you stuck on that you're nobody? Are you stuck on that you sinned today? Are you stuck on that you're not that righteous? You see, all these things are who Christ is in us, and it shines through us, amen? That when we come to Jesus, he makes us worthy, amen? He makes us somebody in Jesus. He makes us righteous. See, but when we're looking at ourselves and we're looking in the mirror and we're thinking about us and who we are and what we've done, sometimes it's hard to look at us the way that God looks at us. But if we can just get a new lens of from God about what he sees you as beautiful, wonderful people of God. He sees righteousness, holiness. He sees the beloved of God. See, and if we could get all that in us, but all these thoughts the enemy tries to plant in us so that we can't receive what God has for us. I was reading this thing on spiritual warfare, and this lady was talking about how she was sitting down with somebody, and this lady could see in the spirit, and she saw a demon come and crawl up the back of that lady and then start putting slime in her hair and started talking in her ear. And how the lady's countenance just began to change. And then all of a sudden the lady just like shook it off. Like, I'm not taking that, no. And just began to go forward and continue on. And the lady said, I saw that demon just go poof. Because the lady just continued in the faith, continued believing, amen? And that's what we need to do. It's when we entertain those thoughts that the enemy brings and allow them to come to life is when we falter. It's when we start doubting. It's when our faith gets rocked. We've got to believe, amen? You know, the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 through 6, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not carnal. It's not something you can feel. It's not something you can see. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. We capture them thoughts and we say, no! We get rid of them. And we start declaring the word of God over our lives because it's on the tip of our tongue. We start speaking that out. Instead of entertaining these thoughts the enemy's trying to confuse you with, you should never be confused. You should never be confused. You guys awake out there? Come on, I'm preaching good right now. You should never be confused because that's what the enemy's trying to do. Because you got the word of God on the tip of your tongue, you speak it out and it breaks the confusion. You don't have to live in confusion. Speak the word of God over your life. And it says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Man, when you start fulfilling walking in obedience, you destroy every ounce of disobedience the enemy's trying to put on you. And that's what we want to do. And it all begins in our minds. The enemy tries to devalue you and what you hear so that you live in fear and doubt. That's what the enemy's job is. He does his job well, but we need to stand up against that, amen? We have to snap out of it and step into faith. Amen. And then the angel responds to Mary. Then verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Nalanda. Do not be afraid, Jeanette. Do not be afraid, Carol. Do not be afraid, Dean. Do not be afraid. God's got it. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid for us. God's got it. We're trusting him. Trust with us. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Everybody say favor. Favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. In verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now these next words right here, verse 34, are just some great, great words of faith. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? How can this be, since I do not know a man? She's asking a question.
Is the shadow of an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I'm only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head, my heart at times sings, holy is he. Blessed am my people in me. People in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that he
again. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a very valid question that Mary asked. How can this be since I do not know a man? And what Mary is saying, she's saying, I will not sacrifice my covenant with God. She was pure. She was holy. She was still a virgin. And that's why she was chosen. And the marriage is a blood covenant between the husband and the wife. Amen? And she said, I'm not willing to sacrifice that, so how can this be? The consequences of being impregnated before your wedding was punishable by death. And Mary, because she was raised on, you shall not know a man until you are married, she's like, how is this going to happen that I'm going to have a baby when I still have not known a man? Because I'm not willing to give up what I've kept all these years for anything. So how is that going to happen? Because it was a sign that you broke your covenant with God if you weren't a virgin when you got married. And they would condemn you to die. Now, we're not under the law, but we're under God's grace. And that was the law back then. And in our society today, it is far from us. It's something that we've not trained up our sons and daughters to raise them to believe that this is a God covenant that you must maintain until the day you get married. We've gone away from that, and we've not said anything about that anymore. We don't teach the covenant of God with our kids. See, Mary knew it because her parents had ingrained it in her. You shall not know a man till you get married. It was part of who she was, and she's asking, how is this going to happen? Because I'm not willing to give up my covenant with God. It needs to be who we are today, amen? The law was meant to keep us from sinning and gave us a knowledge of what sin was. But it's not enough for us as we fall into that sin, and sex outside of marriage is a common thing these days. In the church, out of the church. A few years ago, I did a study on abortion. It says 76% of the people that have abortions have an affiliation with the church. So if the church would just get it back in our hearts to maintain this covenant with God, we might eliminate 74% of all the abortions. Virgins. The abortions. You know what I'm saying. So when you look at Mary's question, it was really valid. The angel then gives her a complete answer as to how this was going to happen. The journey she was on is one of great faith. She was chosen for it. And I believe God's chosen you for it too. She just wanted to know a little bit more of the details and how she was going to maintain her purity. Do you ever think about that? Maintaining your purity. In verse 35, it says, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Stop thinking about all the impossible things you're in, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen. You have to know that if you're going to walk in great faith with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. All things are possible with God. He is God. Amen. He's got it. The healing you need today is possible with God, as He's already prophesied, by His stripes you are healed. Amen. Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Amen. By Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, who strengthens me. I can do it all. Amen. I have a big safe. And on Friday, we're removing this safe. It is really heavy. We had loaded the truck. We had unloaded the truck. And all that was left was this safe. And we're both looking at it. We avoided it the whole time unloading. And it was at the very back of the truck, you know. We just kept going around it and taking everything out, because that safe is so heavy. So when it got time, that was the last thing on the truck. We just stood there and we looked at that safe. I said, you know what? I think we need to pray. Because, you know, we were not as fresh as we were when we started the day out when we loaded that safe. And now here it was, and it is very heavy. And so we prayed. We prayed, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I pray that you give us strength right now, that we don't drop this thing and we don't get hurt. And man, we rolled that thing right down because the ramp was really steep on that truck. And we rolled it down that ramp to the ground and put it in the storage unit and breathed a sigh of relief and said, thank you, Jesus, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things. Everybody say, all shall be added unto you. Exodus 22, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So Jesus, he takes us out of bondage, he supplies what we need, and he heals us. Amen? That's who he is. He is God Almighty. And it takes great faith for God to do the great things in your life. Remove all doubt and fear. Get it out of you. Do away with the doubt and fear. As the angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Delonda. Don't be afraid, Ed. Don't be afraid, Mario. Don't be afraid, Nick. Don't be afraid. Just put your name in there. Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. He's God. He loves you. Amen? It's the enemy who hates you. It's the enemy that does not want you to walk in faith. It's the enemy that wants to destroy your life. God wants to build your life. God wants to give you an abundant life. That's God. That's not the devil. The devil wants to destroy you. Don't believe him anymore. Don't let him limit you. No fear. Nydia's got a key on her neck that says fearless. That's been her word for this year. Fearless. And she's been doing things that she would have never done before. She took this position out here because he said, I know that when I come here, things are going to change in my life. That God's going to take me to some places that I haven't gone yet. She says, but I'm fearless, so I'm coming to New Hope. Amen? Be fearless. Begin this year leaving all fear behind. And come into this new year fearless. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 3. It says, let God arise. Amen? Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them exceedingly rejoice. Rejoice exceedingly. Rejoice exceedingly. Amen. Rejoice exceedingly. Be glad. This is the God we serve. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now let's walk in a level of faith of a teenage girl at the very least. Mary that day. Verse 38. This is the scripture. These are the words. Great, great faith. Behold, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me as according to your word. How powerful is that? That is so powerful. Let it be to me as you have said, God. Let us move forward with that declaration. Why don't you stand with me today? And put that scripture back up, please. Let it be to me according to your word. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Let that sink into you today. Let's begin today to let the word of God just sink into us. That these scriptures that I've given you today, I'm going to post it on YouTube tomorrow. It'll be on podcasts. It'll be on YouTube. It's on Facebook today, right now. You can listen to these scriptures over and over again to let them sink into you so that your faith just starts growing for this new year, coming into this year. I did a Bible study this week on repentance. Now, repentance doesn't just mean that we speak something out, that we confess our faults. Lord, I'm sorry, I've done this. I'm sorry, I've done that. That's just a part of repentance. Repentance means now I've turned my life around and now I'm acting out what I believe in Jesus. I'm acting out in Christ. I'm walking with Jesus. That's repentance. This is what faith is. We're walking out what God says about us. We're stepping into this coming year as an act of great faith. Not just a wish. See, because when our hope is in God, hope is not a wish. Hope in Christ is a confident expectation of God's promise, His provision, and His character. So our hope is in the Lord. Let our faith arise this year. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I want my faith to just grow this coming year? I want it to just, all right, praise God. Just keep your hands up for a second here. Father, you see all these hands up here today. And I pray, Father God, for every single one of us, that, Lord, that we would have a deeper desire for your word, God, that your word would be on the tip of our tongue always, God, that, Lord, that your word would be alive inside of each one of us, that, Lord, that we not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, that, Father, that we just go forward in this new year, launching in great faith, God. Let it be to us, God, as you have declared. Let healing right now, God, just flow through this house. Let every person that needs healing, just let it flow right now, God. Let that touch come upon them right now, Father, by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I haven't been walking with Jesus. I've been far from him. But today I want to come close to God and I want to just give my life to him today. Is there anybody here that needs to make that commitment today? Just wave at me right now. If you need to make that commitment, you need to come to Jesus today. You need to give your life to him today. Is there anybody here? Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Bob and Yolanda, pray with them right there, okay? Just lead them to Jesus right there. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, God, for what Jesus has done for us. And we come, God, just believing, Lord, that our faith is going to expand. So we bind every weapon of the enemy that he's been using against us, and we cast it down today in the name of Jesus. And we pray for a loosening of God's word, God's presence, his love to overtake us. And Lord, that you cover and protect every person here today. And the blessing of the Lord, which makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it, will be upon the people of God. Let us not forget while we're here to celebrate Jesus. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. There's refreshments out in the foyer. Stick around. Have a cup of coffee, cup of water, piece of cake. Just connect with somebody. Get to know them today. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday for our candlelight service. Have a great day.